Welcome back to Alphabet Scoop. This is episode 25. We're at a quarter of 100 now.
Yeah, this we started a while ago, but it really doesn't feel too long for us.
Yeah, it's been I don't know, the time's gone, like, it's gone by really fast. At least that's how it's felt to me.
Definitely.
So today, or I guess this week, it was pretty eventful. So, like, many people probably already know the Pixel 3 or 3 XL, they've been well leaked by now. But this week was a really big leak week for
non-Pixel.
Yeah, everything else pretty much. Three big, like, tent poles, I guess. The first being Google Home Hub. The second being the Nocturne tablet, which we think is a first-party Google product, but we're not exactly 100% sure on that one. And the third being the Pixel Stand, which I guess you could say this little render that leaked today is the first official leak of the Pixel Stand besides the name. So
yeah, the hardware. Finally, good luck at the hardware.
So I guess we'll start with the Home Hub. That was, like, I don't know, a pretty surprising leak, wouldn't you say? Like, I guess we didn't really have any idea what it would look like, but
we didn't know what it was going to be called.
That's true.
Either. And so this Home Hub, we got what basically looks like the Google Store listing that Google gives out to third-party retailers as part of the week on Tuesday or Wednesday, I believe. And it's a 7-inch smart display, first-party smart display that has the Google colors. There's like a gray mesh look going on, and everything else is white. I think the page said there's a darker version. So if you're familiar with the Home Mini and the Home Max, you're going to be familiar with the Home Hub will fit right in your lineup and in Google's lineup.
Yeah, it definitely has that design aesthetic. It looks kind of like a mashup between Google Home Max and I don't know.
Point of sale system.
Yeah, that's a funny one. Yeah, point of sale system. Yeah, some people took my tweet seriously when I tweeted that, and they were like, wait, what are you talking about? But I one of the things that kind of sticks out to me about the design is that, honestly, the tablet part of it kind of looks really cheap to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It looks like a generic 7-inch, like, Acer tablet from, like, 2014. Like, that's what it looks like to me. And maybe the official renders will do it justice or look a little bit better. So. But or maybe these are the official renders. I mean,
these are the official renders, yeah.
This was a pretty extensive leak. It looks like some kind of retail page. I don't know if people remember, but last year, a kind of enterprise wholesaler or something leaked all in.
Yeah, but I think this goes a step further.
Yeah, it seems like kind of along the same vein, though, of like some kind
you
of...
You will see these renders on the Google Store. I'm pretty sure these are the exact same ones that are going to appear.
Oh, yeah. No, sure. I mean, I'm sure that it's probably pretty well representative. But what I'm saying is the source of it is, it seems to be the same kind of vein as last year, where it's like a third party that somehow got this information because they're going to be selling it to, enterprise customers or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we got like this full detailed like product page with like all the specs, basically even the weight of the device. We learned that it's coming in two colors, according to this page, chalk and charcoal, which you may recognize from last year, or previous product color names that Google's used on other. They like this chalk and charcoal name.
Yeah, they do.
And yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, I think we pretty much have a pretty good idea of what it's going to be like. All we needed to know was the name and the hardware, and we pretty much already know what Android Things is, or what the smart display version of Android Things is, on a software side. Yeah, so we've done reviews over at 95 Google for the JBL Link View and the Lenovo Smart Display. So you should check those out if you want an idea of what the software side of this is going to be. Yeah. Exactly. But it's interesting to me that, you know, there's nothing on here that says smart display. So Google's been really been they've been pushing the smart display name, but there it doesn't seem like they're going to be using it at all on this device. It seems like it's just going to be kind of branded as a Google Home, and that's it.
Speaking of apps and things, the specs page, there's no mention of a camera on the specs page, and it doesn't look like there's a camera anywhere on this very cheap looking 7-inch display, which is really surprising.
I guess you could say it's this surprising. I mean, one thing, the specs page, I'm trying to bring it up right now, but it does say that it has like a color and ambient light sensor. And then the two front, I guess those other two holes are the far field microphones we've seen that those, they look exactly like the ones that are on the first generation Google Home. This on the camera front, it's, I guess it is surprising in a sense, because the JBL Link View and the Lenovo Smart Display both have cameras, right? And so it seems odd that Google's first party offering would you know, forego that, especially since on the software side of things, they've been really pushing this whole Duo thing, this Duo call. Duo is a big deal for Google. A Duo of between Owl and Duo has obviously been the success story. So it's interesting to see that this was not gonna, they're not gonna be able to brag about that with this one.
One possible theory for why that is to cut down the costs. Another report cited a $149 price point, which there's a lot to lend credence to that, but also we've only had one report of that.
Yeah, it's kind of based on what this report said, it was a Home Depot listing that listed the $149 price, and so we haven't even seen that Home Depot listing firsthand. We've just seen a report of someone who I presume talked to someone who saw the listing, you know, kind of like a second or third hand kind of thing. But that said, with these retail listings, especially if they're US and they're US dollars, they're usually pretty well representative for a couple reasons. One of which is they got to put some number in there whenever they're putting these products in the systems. And $149 sounds like a not random number to me.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that it kind of lines up with some of the evidence. And just to go through that real quick, the evidence is other smart displays, the ones that have launched so far, start at $199 for the smaller models. I think that's the 8-inch Lenovo smart display is $199. Another thing is that Japanese publication Nikkei said that Google was going to be really aggressive with these and try to push 3 million units before the end of the year. Interestingly, their report called it something like a smart home or a smart home device with display or something.
Yeah, the way they prioritize a speaker.
Yeah, the way they talked about it was interesting. And I don't know if maybe that has something to do with its unique form factor. You know, it's not exactly... You know, the other devices are kind of like bulky tablets, whereas this is like a speaker base with a tablet on top. And so maybe that's part of why Nikkei covered it or mentioned it or talked about it in that way. Maybe they were privy to that.
Honestly, I'd argue that this is the worst design almost.
It's kind of ugly. I mean, if we're honest, it's kind of ugly.
The Lenovo one is like a beautiful cut. It's like a beautiful single piece, and the bulkiness on the left or right side doubles as a vertical stand. Meanwhile, the JBL, it makes sense, like a boom box almost.
Right,
like
the shape, JBL product.
Yes, it is. But for this one, it's two things attached together. It's like mildly.
It looks like a point of sale system, really. That's the closest thing. It does borrow some from the existing Google Homes. I think the most obvious thing is that, you know, like the fabric and the plug on the back looks very similar to the plug on the Home Max. So the other things on the hardware side of things, it looks like there's a physical mute switch on the back, which, all of the Google Homes, the original Google Home had a mute button. The Home Max and the Home Mini had a mute switch. And looks like this is going to continue on with the switch. And then there's also what we didn't know what it was at first, but I think it makes sense that it be a volume rocker on the back on the right side.
Yeah.
That's so odd because, you know, all of the, they've all been touch. So, you know, the Home, the standard home, the home mini, the home max, they've all been touch sensitive. And you would think they could have done some kind of touchable
Under display.
Under the display. Oh, on the display even. So that's weird that I don't know. One thing that's interesting to know about this is I feel pretty confident that this is Manhattan, which is the first leaked device from like over a year ago. Mm-hmm. Around the time the Echo Show was kind of hitting it big, Google was obviously kind of a little peeved at that launch, and they missed launching this one in time to really compete directly with the Echo Show. And so I think this product's been in the works for a long time. I think that the product that we see here is probably something that was like almost ready to launch a year ago.
Yeah.
If I were to guess. And so I think that, you know, it's not exactly surprising that it looks a little bit, you know, I don't know. It seems a little outdated. It's a little bit, exactly. And that's another thing, besides the Nikkei report that said Google wants to ship 3 million of these things, which, you know, good luck. Besides that, the datedness of the look, in my opinion, might be another thing that supports the $149 price tag. So All that considered, you know, if the eight inch Lenovo is $199, I think $149 easily makes sense with this one, and I think that might make a lot of people happy because there's a lot of people that still, I mean, there's still a lot of people that still don't have any smart stuff at all. Mm-hmm. And at $149, this is only $20 more than the original launch price of the original Google Home, and so I think this is going to be, I don't know, I think it's going to be an attractive thing for a lot of people.
Attractive, not physically.
Not physically attractive, but attractive as a product or as a purchase.
Yeah. I think somebody said it's a home mini for this year, which is honestly a very good thing. We saw some sales numbers for the last quarter that shows the home mini as the top selling smart device. So price, competing on price works.
I guess I would like to qualify that statement. It's not exactly that this is going to be, obviously it's not $50. It's not $30. It's not going to be, I don't think that Google is going to be throwing these in with for free with phones or whatever, as easily as they were able to with the whole mini. But I do think that it's going to be, you know, yet another year of, I mean, Google's undercutting the Echo Show, the original Echo Show. The second gen Echo Show, we can talk a little bit about that, was just announced yesterday. And it looks like, one thing I wanted to talk about real quick is that the footprint of this device is much smaller than a lot of the other.
According to the FCC, it's an oval base. It's an oval footprint.
Right. And the footprint of the original Echo Show was pretty hefty, and especially the first two smart displays. Those things were huge. It's hard to fit them on your kitchen counter almost because they're got a really big footprint. And then the new Echo Show, which was just announced, it has the biggest, it looks like the biggest footprint of them all, maybe. And so that's one thing that I think will set this one apart is that
compactness.
Since they were able to elevate that tablet off the stand, makes it make a little bit more sense. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else on this that we should
we should
I think. I think that's pretty much it. I'm going to buy one probably.
Yeah.
It can definitely replace my, I have a home max in the kitchen right now. I'm probably going to move the home max out to one of the bigger rooms and put one of these, in the kitchen. But other than that, I already have a home in pretty much every room at this point. So
doesn't.
If Google keeps launching these every year, I'm going to have one for every closet too.
So yeah, that was the Google Home. What do you think of the name Home Hub?
It's funny. I was actually tweeting about it like a couple weeks ago, and my guess was Google Home View. The name we've been saying for a while is Pixel Slate, you know, and that one in hindsight doesn't make any sense. And it might make sense if it was a Pixel product, but it's not. And so Home Hub, I like it. I think it's better than Home View. The thing is, Hub to me kind of suggests that it's more that it is more than what it is. I guess Hub, I don't know, kind of. You would think that it would kind of be the hub for everything in your home, which I think the current state of Android things is kind of like not there yet. You know, it'd be cool if there was like on display full-fledged like control panels for all your smart home stuff.
Not that far. It's mostly voice and some like dials.
Exactly. It's like it's complementary to voice at the moment.
Yeah.
Whereas I think a hub would be more of like a, I don't know. That's just my thought on the name, but I like it. It works.
Home hub, saying it fast.
Yeah. That's home hub 149 looks ugly, but you know, everyone's going to buy it anyway.
Speaking of things that look ugly.
Yeah. Are we going to talk about the Pixel Slate? the new Pixel Slate?
The new Pixel Slate. The better name. The best name.
Yeah.
So on Wednesday, I believe, we had the Bridge, this keyboard, this premium keyboard maker that Kyle Bradshaw has been tracking for the past few weeks. They had this like this beta page, beta version of their website that showed off the two keyboards. One is a standard Bluetooth keyboard, and the second is one that connects to a tablet. And the tablet in question appears to be Nocturne.
Yeah, so I guess the backstory on this is that we have little pieces and bits of evidence on the fact or the possibility that Nocturne is a Google product, which is not something that we've nailed down quite yet. But I guess circumstantially, we have some things that are adding up that point in that direction. And you can check out last week's Alphabet Scoop if you want to hear we went deep into that last week. So you should listen to that episode if you want to hear about why we think Nocturne is a Google tablet. But I guess that's another thing that's kind of changed in the narrative in the last few weeks is that we're starting to think that Nocturne is, or I guess the evidence suggests that Nocturne is more of a tablet and less of a Pixelbook. You know, it's the assumption Nocturne and Atlas are basically the two code names that we've been focusing on lately. Atlas looks to be a real laptop. And I guess if you're finding code names in the Chrome OS, if you're finding those code names in the Chromium like source, it's like assume they're a laptop until proven otherwise kind of thing, because traditionally they've been laptops.
Always.
And so I guess it just makes sense that we've assumed it would possibly be a laptop. But now, based on this week's leak, I think that we can say pretty matter-of-factly that it's going to be primarily a tablet, but also have
the option for a keyboard.
At least that's what it looks like. What do you think of the render?
We should go into the state of the render first.
Yeah, exactly.
It lines up with other things we've heard, specifically the location of the fingerprint sensor in the top left corner. It's a very distinct location that we've seen in the Chrome OS animation. But besides that, you had the theory that this is just a markup, that Google gave Bridge the dimensions of a thing, of the tablet, but this isn't actually the final thing. This is just a render based purely on dimensions, and so the final design might be different.
Yeah, a lot of it adds up. I mean, we saw that graphic that showed a fingerprint sensor on the top left of the device, which is a hardware feature, I guess you could call it, that we've never seen on a Chrome OS device yet. And so that's like a unique thing that kind of makes Nocturne kind of like seems different and kind of stand out from the crowd, so to speak. And I guess that's one thing that tipped us off that maybe this render is indeed reflective of Nocturne. Like you said, there's some weird things that kind of suggest that maybe it's maybe not everything here is what it seems. Like, for instance, the device's color perfectly matches the color of the keyboard, which is not all too out of the ordinary, but it's a little bit weird if this is a Google sanctioned render. Another thing is the screenshot that they used on this tablet is from, as you noted, the original like Chrome OS 20 or something, like very early
first Chrome OS devices. So that was odd. And third, the lack of cameras.
My headphones keep going out in and out, so I'm gonna have to turn them off. Sorry about that, guys.
Okay. So until then, so there's no cameras. There's absolutely
can't trust the AirPods. I haven't had problems with them so far, but man,
yeah.
Today they are just not doing so well for me.
So,
yeah. go ahead.
No cameras.
Yeah, that's the last thing, is that there's no cameras. So you would think that if this was a Google-made render, or at least Google-sanctioned or Google-approved or something, that you would see cameras on both the front of the back and the back, which there's lots of evidence for. There's lots of evidence that Nocturne has two cameras. We haven't completely 100% connected, you know, confirmed the connection between Nocturne and this render specifically, but all the pieces kind of do suggest that to be the case. I guess one other thing was that, I guess like you said, it seems like most likely the situation here is that Google like provided like a blank CAD or like, you know, the dimensions, and then Bridge was the one that made the render. And so physically speaking, you know, it could be representative of what the device will look like in terms of physical form, but
and like the curvatures and whatnot. I think that's pretty locked down. But hope this doesn't look like a Google product straight out. This doesn't look like any like the first Pixelbook. It doesn't look like any of the phones. It looks like a generic tablet that, here, make a tablet. This is what you would end up with.
Yeah, on the generic side of things, though, the fact that it doesn't have branding on the front.
It's Google's MO.
I don't know what else to say about it. I guess the fingerprint is cool. It's a first for Chrome OS. We're seeing little pieces of it in the code, and we've seen animations suggesting that that's for sure happening. And it would make sense, I think, that Google is the first, or would be the first to do it. I guess one thing that's interesting is the keyboard situation. So we pointed this out in the past, but Bridge has primarily made keyboards for the iPad, and the iPad's obviously a huge seller. Apple pushes a ton of them, even though the iPad is not as successful now as it's been in the past. And so the fact that Bridge is making this for what we think is a Google tablet, sidebar, on Bridge's site, there's three categories: for iPad, for Surface Pro, and then for Huli, which I didn't know this because I don't watch the show, but as Abner educated me, Huli is Google in the show Silicon Valley. So yeah, that's another piece of evidence that suggests that this is a first party Google product. Although theoretically, I guess Huli could refer to any Chrome OS device, but the timing of everything, plus the fact that Bridge pulled this down like within minutes of About Chromebooks, have to give credit to Kevin Toefel over at About Chromebooks. He was the first person that spotted this, but we found the sites and they were still live. Well, they weren't live, but they'd recently been pulled and the Google cache was available. So looking at the Google cache and seeing that the site got pulled so quickly, that's another thing that suggests that, you know, when you find something as journalists, when we find something and it immediately disappears, that's usually a sign that it's pretty serious. And I don't think that if this had been an Acer or a Lenovo or an HP product, if it would disappear within, you know, half an hour of the report getting out. You know, this is the kind of thing where it's like a CEO sees this on Twitter and like is like frantically calling someone to get it pulled. You know, like that's the kind of situation that we're looking at here, I think.
So yeah, we got our first look, and I think you asked at the top of the show, like what's this Chromebook for? And I think it doesn't seem to be a productivity thing, I'm going to be honest, because if Google was really making a productivity device, I think they would want to own the keyboard. They would want to own the entire experience. So this is actually one of the more interesting things of how they're going to angle this device, whether it's going to be in the line of a Chromebook or whether with tablets, Google is going to push into consumption and ultimately the iPad, because this would be a first. We've only seen education Chrome OS tablets, but the idea of Google going after the iPad with a solid experience, like cheap devices that has clearly worked with the Chrome OS Chromebook model, this is possibly the most interesting thing of the event.
Yeah, I think On the front of keyboards, I think that the man, my dog is barking, and I'm really sorry for that. For those that are listening on the audio afterward on this. But yeah, I think I lost my train of thought. I think there will be first party keyboards. And so I think what we might see is a similar situation like the Surface Pro, where it's like a certain price without the keyboard, $100 more with the keyboard. I think we're going to see really premium, really nice keyboards from Google. And there's evidence of that in Chromium too. And Bridge was not the only keyboard maker that we found evidence for. And so there are other keyboards that I think we can see. Kyle could correct me on this, but I think we can see the actual key layout out of them. And I think that Google is responsible for some of those. So that's my take on it. And I think also what we're going to see is I think the physical makeup of the device is going to be, I think it's going to be very similar to what we see in these renders, but I think that the overall aesthetic that Google presents with the device itself and with the keyboards, I think is going to be reflective of the aesthetic that we've seen with Google's other products, with the Pixelbook. I would not be surprised if, you know, just like Microsoft did with the keyboards, if Google's keyboards have fabric like we're seeing on the Google Home, in the Google Home line and with Daydream View, I would not be surprised that the keyboards are like some soft some kind of fabric or something with a nice little G logo on there, just like everything else they're doing. But I mean, that's what I think. I think it's probably a good idea to take this render as like, yes, this is representative, but it is not what we're going to see in a few weeks. So that's Pixel tablet. I don't know what to call it, but Pixelbook Go. Let's call it that. I like Pixelbook Go.
So familiar.
Yeah. And then I guess the big thing that happened today was the Pixel stand, right? You can go ahead.
Yeah. So the latest Google app beta revealed this animation. It's the latest in a series of animations about the Pixel Stand and the Pixel Stand UI with this.
You're setting off my Google Home, man.
Dude, what did I say?
I don't know, but you set it off.
I heard Christopher Robin. But anyways,
I thought you asked about what movies are available in theaters right now.
Oh, that's fascinating. Anyways, yeah, so we got a look at the Pixel Stand, which shows like a circular base with the Pixel Stand placed upright, which makes sense for the name. We always knew that this was more than like a charging mat that Google wanted you to interact with the screen, and it looks fine. I think the software experience is going to play a lot more into it.
Yeah. One thing we can't really tell in this render is what does the back look like? Because it looks like it's kind of like, if there is a back to it, I guess it's a stand. So we know it's a back, Pixel Stand. So there's a back. We can't see it because it's behind the phone, but it does look like there's like some sort of lip that like is along the front on the bottom that holds the phone in place. But yeah, the hardware is at least based on this image, which I guess it's worth noting that just like we've mentioned many, many times, the phones that we see in these renders are not necessarily exactly representative of the real hardware. The phones themselves are probably genericized, in this case especially, considering the phone we're seeing is a completely bezel-less phone that doesn't have front-facing cameras or speakers or microphones. So it's probably genericized. And then so the Pixel Stand 2 could be genericized. We don't know. But I guess this is our first look at what it might sort of look like. But like you said, I think that the big thing here is that the story is going to be you plop your phone on it and it will be a Google Home. And that's the significance. I think what's interesting is that Kyle pointed this out today too, was that we didn't see this in the box for the leaked retail pre-production units. So this is obviously an add-on. What do you think? $20? $30?
No.
Google price is $50?
50 plus. No way cheaper than that.
That's not going to sell many units, man. $50.
First party.
I'm guessing. I'm gonna guess 40. That's my guess. So yeah, that's Pixel Stand. It's not really all that exciting. I guess we can talk a little bit about Pixel 3. Go ahead.
We had some more leaks today, which we know the design, we know everything about it. We had some interesting insights into the camera. So it's an one of the front-facing cameras, according to this Twitter leak, is f1.8 autofocused. But interestingly, the second ultra-wide angle is, I think, how they refer to it. It's a fixed f2.2, which makes sense compared to a variable, in my opinion. I'm really curious whether the Google Camera app is going to surface the ability to switch between them. But other than that, it's the same Pixel 3 XL we've known for quite a bit now.
Yeah, one thing we don't know about, really, we kind of know. There's nothing that we absolutely don't know anything about, but there are a few things that we kind of know. We don't know the pricing, although we can guess that it'll just be the same as last year, which I think would be a safe bet. But one thing we kind of know is the colors now. So I don't know if we talked about those last week, but there was a Japanese teaser site that let you cycle through a few different themes, one of which was a white phone with a green outline, which we assume is representative of the bright green power button, which we've already seen that model actually leaked. That was the Ukraine-based leaks were the notched 3XL in white with a bright green power button. And then the other two are all black, so black and black, which we've seen that phone too. And then the third one was blue. Well, at least the code said blue, but what it really was a what color was it? Was it just black? Was it black as well or mint? That's mint. Right. Yeah, it was like a mint background with the mint or the green ring. So the assumption is, and Verge wrote this matter-of-factly, like their headline was like, Google Pixel 3 colors revealed, mint, black, and white, or something. Like they said as if they knew it, which maybe they do know it, because Verge and Marquez, and I'm sure a handful of other people are already gotten their pre-briefs or are getting their pre-briefs. Last year, I'm pretty sure pre-briefs started happening around 3 to 4 weeks before the event. So that's probably already happening. There's probably a bunch of NDAs that have been signed. So for all we know, Verge knows that and they're reporting it as such. But one interesting thing, which we reported on this week, was that there was a fourth color in the code, which was labeled pink, which we were able to enable a pink background. But the code, there was accompanying JavaScript for the pink background that was just not there. So yeah, we don't really know if this is maybe a fourth color that they're just holding back until the day of the event, or if it's
since
something
been removed, mind you. It's since been removed.
Yeah, it's since been removed too. So yeah, they updated the site. We mentioned that this week too. Is that they updated the site? It used to say just coming soon, and now it says Google Pixel. So there's no question about it anymore. Maybe it just slipped through code review or something and wasn't supposed to be live, or maybe it was supposed to be live and we were supposed to find it and we were supposed to blog about it and we were supposed to generate attention. I don't know. Anything else? This is a pretty brief show. We're having a lot of hectic things. My dog's like walking around the house and it's raining outside and my headphones aren't working. So a lot of things going wrong. So I think we're going to keep it short. But is there anything else? Kyle installed Chromium, a very rudimentary build of Chromium on Fuchsia OS this week, which is crazy. Just interesting to see that Google's been continuing work on getting Chromium. Fuchsia OS has had WebKit, a very even more rudimentary WebKit browser that was basically unusable. But now this build of Chromium is accessible via the command line if you install it on Fuchsia OS. So Kyle did that this week. It was really interesting. Another thing is Google Daydream News dropped today. So
yes,
what happened with
wildly,
that? That's really crazy too.
Yeah, wildly fascinating. So Google announced a handful of experimental features for standalone Daydream, which only applies to the Lenovo and the large Solo. So the most interesting one, in my opinion, is a pass-through mode. So basically, a standalone Daydream has quite a few cameras, and you can, with this new see-through mode, you can basically see the real world, and you can things can be augmented over your vision. You're still looking through a camera, and it shows. But this is beginning to look like a developer kit for like future AR products, because you can overlay objects, you can interact with virtual objects, augmented and placed into the real world. Second part of that is they made these controllers, which basically give you more movement. But what's a super interesting thing that Google's doing is, instead of having external cameras like Oculus and HTC Vive looking at you to see where your hand is in space, Google's using machine learning and the cameras on device to calculate those precise movements. It's a cheaper way to do it in terms of equipment and hardware. And it's clever, it's smart, it's cool that they're able to do advanced hand tracking with just machine learning. And lastly, is the idea of having Android apps. You can open Android apps and games virtually inside virtual reality. So, but again, like, the most interesting thing is this augmented reality and Google beginning to show everybody what they can do with it. And hopefully we're not too long away from like a HoloLens or a Magic Leap type device coming from Google. It's exciting.
Yeah, this seems like the kind of announcement or demo that just didn't make the cut for 10.9. And so they just decided to push it. I don't know, like, the last 2 years have had little tidbits of Daydream. I mean, the first year was obviously the announce of Daydream, so that was a big hit. And then last year was the refined Daydream View headset, mm-hmm. which was much welcome. And you know, each announcement had their accompanying buzz and you know, announcements and stuff. And this year, I'd guess that there's not new Daydream View hardware for a variety of reasons. One, we don't have any leaks yet of it. Or any evidence of it, and two, VR's kind of slowed down a lot
across the industry.
Daydream especially hasn't really picked up any ground in the last 2 years. You know, like, it still feels like a tech demo to me.
Yeah,
it's cool, but that's the extent of it, and it's not really picking up any mainstream
adoption.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think that pretty much rounds out the big stories. Chrome OS 69 came out, which brought Linux support to Chromebooks finally. So Archile did a guide on how to install Android Studio on Chrome OS, which we did because we can do that now. So that's good. And then, you know, there were some app updates. I guess you can... Yeah, nothing really... material theme in Google Calculator, which is basically just like Google Sans. More white in Google Sans, which has basically been the material theme reason for everything. That's the MO. There were some weird bugs and problems with Gboard and with power saving mode popping up on people's phones.
That wasn't this week, was it? Yeah.
It was early this week. I think it was Monday night.
That was a long week.
Yeah, I think it was. But yeah, people's power saver mode or whatever was being remotely enabled by Google, which I think freaked some people out. They were like,
"Yes, freaked a lot of people."
How is Google able to change my settings? Surprise, surprise, that's something that both Apple and Google can do.
Yes,
although they don't do it. unless they do it on accident, which they did this week. There was more Pixel Ultra rumor drama. I guess I'll leave the show with this little tidbit. I'll do both and. So on the four or I'll meet the conspiracies where they are And I will say, we did say on episode 4 of Alphabet Scoop, this is long, a long time ago, that something is happening with Xiaomi and Google. We don't know what. For all we know, it's been 6 months. They could have been canceled by now. But I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't know what to make of it. But as these rumors start flying, and as we've heard ourselves of there's more phones in the works internally than just the two, Google Pixel 3 and 3 XL. Although all evidence points to the two phones that have leaked being the phones that launch next month. In my opinion, all the evidence points to that being the case. So this is me, I guess, hedging that claim by saying, I'm not saying I know everything. I have never said that I know everything. I'm just saying it's my job to report the evidence, and the evidence suggests that that's what's happening. And, you know, Google has worked with OEMs in the past, and so there's a lot of things that this could mean. I mean, a Xiaomi, for all we know, could be doing a Xiaomi phone. Google could be working on Xiaomi on a Xiaomi phone. Or there could be some kind of new initiative that we don't know about that Google's announcing. Our tipster said it wasn't a Pixel phone. So there's that. And also, you know, our tipster tends to be very early on things. I think we first mentioned the material redesign in like 2017 or something, and then it actually happened in 2018. So this could also be for something that's not happening for a year or ever. So that's me hedging all of, you know, me saying the facts. The facts are that none of the pieces of evidence for the Pixel Ultra, I very widely debunked them and said none of the evidence for the Pixel Ultra is really any good. It's not good evidence. We have not seen a single piece of convincing evidence to suggest that a third phone is launching in a month. And so that's the facts. And I guess I will add to that by saying I've now had secondhand confirmation from two different people. Secondhand confirmation from people that are on or near the hardware team at Google, who have said that this year is exactly what you would expect it to be and nothing more. So take that for what it's worth. I think that, you know, a lot of people have been critical of me and of us for being skeptical of all of the bunk, I guess. And I just wanted to share that because we're not just, we may be a little bit arrogant, but we're not just arrogant. You know, we have reasons to be skeptical, and sometimes reasons that we can't exactly share publicly. At least, you know, I don't want to tweet, I have two sources telling me that nothing is happening next month, because if Google manages to pull some kind of rabbit out of its hat, then, you know, that's going to look really bad for me, because it looks like I'm making some kind of factual claim, which I think if you're watching this show, you get more of the nuance. And so I guess I'll just leave the show at that. That's where we stand. Would you agree with all of that, Abner? That's where we stand on all the crazy rumors, everything that's running away.
We have our reasons for thinking, for our theories and for debunking, but who knows what happens? There's always secrets still do exist in the world.
Yes. Although Google is not the best at keeping them. So
no.
I think it's a lot easier to believe conspiracy theories about secrets that Apple may be keeping, because they have world-class information security and secrecy, even though they, of all companies, did not manage to keep their brand new phone and watch under wraps this year. So that's where we stand. I think we'll wrap up the show there. And we'll talk more about this stuff next week as we get closer and closer to the event.
Yeah. 2 weeks next week.
Yeah.
It's bailing down, and get ready for all the news in October about not just Google, but every single Android maker for some reason is deciding that they should launch around the Pixel event. So it's going to be a fun one.
I'm hoping that we see Atlas this week. I don't know where it'll come from, but I'm hoping that Atlas leaks. So if you have renders or CADs or something of Atlas, you know how to get in touch with me, because I would really like to see this this other Pixelbook that we think, or this other Chrome OS prototype we think is the Pixelbook 2. That's one of the few things that hasn't leaked at all, really, besides the little bits of tidbits that we've been able to pick up from the Chromium source, which, you know, yeah, we don't even have proof that it's Google's, but we think it is. Anyways, until then, till next week, you can tune into Alphabet Scoop here every week. We record this podcast every Friday and publish every Saturday morning, and you can find us on all your favorite podcasting platforms, such as iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, and you can even listen to this podcast over at 9to5google.com. Thanks for tuning in, as always, and thanks again to Abner for joining me. We'll see you next week.
Bye.